and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. It's been documented by the American Society for Clinical Pathology that clinical laboratory staff has been declining for many years. This is a result of many factors. And here to discuss the problem and offer some solutions is vocational rehabilitation instructor and training specialist at Hackensack Meridian Health Rehabilitation Institute, Dr. George Noel. Welcome.
Thank you, Joel. Pleasure to be here.
Did I get all that right? That was a mouthful.
Yep, you got it.
Okay, good. I want to talk about the sponsorship program you have, but I want to, you know, what is the reason? The ASCP, the latest vacancy survey, as I mentioned, they do that every 2 years, and it shows that clinical lab staff is on a significant decline. What's causing that?
Yeah, with the big picture of, and they've done a nice, you know, intensive report recently, back in April, and like you said, they do this every 2 years. And this has been happening since, I think, the late 70s, early 80s. And my own opinion, I'm looking at this and saying, in the 70s, you know, the programs were very promoted on the academic level for students to become a medical technologist after 4 years of a baccalaureate degree, 2 years, you know, medical technician for associate degree. And then after that, I guess the 80s were the age of big money, you know, and business. And students said, well, why work in a lab? You know, I can make big money in sales and marketing or whatever. So it sort of waned away. And what we've had is we have dedicated individuals in the lab that have gone and kept, you know, the labs going. But these people now are in their 50s and approaching retirement, and they're leaving, you know, over the years. And we don't have the students coming in at any level, you know, to fill their places. And a lot of students say, well, wait a minute, I got to go 2 years or 4 years, and then I'm going to get a job, not as a supervisor, but probably inputting samples and doing the entry-level work at the bottom level. So a nice solution would be to go and say, well, can we get the employers and the educators together and say, have a quick start program, you know, like we have, you know, at Hackensack, you know, Meridian at JFK, and say, within 15 weeks, we can get you a trained employee to go in and help everybody out, and they can have a great career track, you know, from there.
Well, you've mentioned that going back to the 70s, that's 50 years ago. Has it been a steady decline? When did it drop off?
Yeah, I'd say it's documented probably 20 or 30 years. I mean, the ASCP has really, you know, documented back into the 80s. And it's been a really steady decline over those years. And the other things that contribute to that is part of those, the training that you need for these programs is internships. For the traditional technician and technologist, you need 1 year in a hospital or in a company, and mostly it's always hospitals. And what has happened with hospitals over the years is people have consolidated into big corporations, and they slash funds for educational programs. So they put more money into equipment and the emergency room and cardiac surgeries and whatnot. So there's an economic issue there. And then there's also a mentorship issue. You don't have the people in the lab to actually train somebody as an internship, because instrumentation has got so complicated that technologist or technician is so focused on the QA of that instrument that they really can't focus on the student standing by them asking questions.
They also mentioned in the study that it is that clinical laboratorians are a hidden profession.
Yep. And what they mean by that is most people, you know, you go to your doctor, you know, and either the doctor, the nurse, or technician takes a blood sample, or you provide a urine sample, right? And you give them the sample. And a lot of people still think, oh, well, they just, you know, do this in the office and they, you know, the doctor, the nurse does this. But what really happens is it's sent out to one of the big three processing labs, you know, in the country. And we can name those, you know, LabCorp, BioReference Lab, and Quest. And somebody behind the scenes, that's a lab assistant, a medical technologist, you know, runs these tests. and then gets them back to the doctor's office. And that's why people don't see that. And people have face-to-face conversations with the clinicians, you know, the nurses, the doctors, the physical therapists, but they don't see, you know, the lab assistant or the technologist, you know, doing these things. And that's another sort of, you know, avenue to say you should have really increased interprofessional education so that all the groups get together and a medical technologist says, oh, that's what a physical therapist does. Oh, mm-hmm. That's what the lab technologist does. So it's more of a, you know, interprofessional education could help too also.
Okay, so we want to eliminate the need for a degree. That's what this program is doing, correct? What does the job entail that you needed a degree before, or maybe you didn't need one, but people were going into the profession with a degree?
Well, the degree is important, so we're not saying eliminate it. We're okay. Just saying get somebody on the career track earlier. And this way, it's a win-win for the employer and the student, the prospective student, because this way the employer wants to really hire someone in 3 to 6 months. And they don't want to wait 2 years or 4 years for somebody. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the student goes through and they take 2 years or 4 years and they think they're going to get a manager job. And there are no manager jobs. They said, well, you got to, you know, sort specimens and you got to do these other things. So they're really overpaying somebody to do these things. So it gets the person in quicker. And it also, you know, has a less financial impact on the student. Mm-hmm. And it puts them on the career track quickly. In our program, there actually is, you know, no financial outlay because our programs are all sponsorship for select, you know, individuals that are either have cognitive or physical disabilities. But being unemployed is also a disability, quote unquote. So if you're an unemployed person, you can take that avenue and go to the Department of Labor and say, I want to get into this program. Could you sponsor me?
Okay. So could you elaborate on who would be qualified for this?
The people that would be qualified for our program would either be someone that we would evaluate a person or the different agencies can evaluate them. Okay. So the different agencies we work with is the New Jersey Division of Vocational Rehab, the Veterans Administration, and the New Jersey Department of Labor for the unemployed. Mm-hmm. So the minimum skills, you know, that you would need to get into this laboratory assistant training program would be you have to have a high school, you know, graduate diploma or a GED. You need a minimum math and reading comprehension level of at least 8th grade. You have to have good dexterity, be detail oriented, can handle multi-steps, and also have an access to some transportation, you know, to get to us. However, we have been doing virtual courses, you know, with lab online and hybrid courses. So that's an option too. And you have to be willing to work, you know, flexible hours because most of the work, like if you're working for the big three premier labs, they work at night because mm-hmm. your doctor gives you, takes your blood or your urine, it's sent out and that everything happens overnight. Now, if you work in a hospital, then you have pretty much a day job, you know, because things are happening in a day. So you can work in a hospital or you can work at the processing labs. And for our course also, I should say, if you're sort of squeamish about handling blood or urine, things like that, you know, there's tons of other laboratory jobs out there, and they're needed too for the drug industry, the cosmetic industry, water and soil sampling. You know, all these other areas that people test, and they're getting more and more technical and more quality assurance under control. So those jobs are out there. But the ASCP is focused on the clinical lab, you know, in their report.
This program would not prepare them for the other ones, but it is something to think about if you're interested in working in a lab, just not with blood if you can't handle it.
Right. I mean, but our program would handle also people in other jobs. You have an option, you know, our course, I revamped the curriculum a few years back. You know, the course has been in existence about 15 years, and I've been doing it, you know, coming up on 6. Mm-hmm. And a few years back, I revamped the curriculum so that it meets the standards of a person being able to get a medical lab assistant certification from American Society of Clinical Pathology. Now, what that is you're not a medical assistant in a doctor's office. You're an MLA, which is a medical lab assistant, which you're able to take that exam when you have our two-year, two-week clinical internship, a hands-on internship with one of our partners, which is part of the course. And also, when you get your job and you're on the job for 6 months, then you're able to sit for that exam. And then after that, you can put MLA ASCP after your name. And that sort of is a stepping stone to do more and more with education and move up the ranks. You know, if you wanted to go back to school and become a medical technician or a technologist, and a lot of companies and hospitals, they would work with you and say, sure, in your off hours, you know, you can take courses or do this. So it's a profession that is not going away. I think within the next 3 years or to 5 years, it's growing like anywhere from 20 to 25%. So you have a lot of different options. And we also had people that say maybe they started out in the lab and then they progressed. And since they had sales background before, they progressed into become a liaison between the sales and marketing people and the lab. So it's not where you're going to be stuck at the bottom as a lab assistant forever, you know, in a company or a hospital. You are going to grow and you're going to move.
That was my next question. So how far can you go without going back to school, so to speak? How far can you get? How many different positions are possible?
Well, one of the big three, you know, premier companies, and we've talked to people, actually, and then of course, this was 30 years ago. Actually, one woman did come in as a housewife, and she started at the bottom, you know, cataloging specimens, and she took internal courses and some training and whatever, and she eventually became a senior person and a team leader in the group, and actually ended up retiring as supervisor and manager of the lab, you know. And so, and she was not, you know, a typical trained medical technologist or, you know, medical technician. You know, getting that afterwards, there's certain requirements for, if you're in a state, there's 13 different states in the U.S. that requires licensing. New Jersey isn't one of them. So in order to get a license by that state, you have to have a certain certification as a med tech or a medical technologist. Again, or the MLA puts you on track for that to sort of get a mindset, you know, to work your way up. But you don't have to, you know, have that. And I found actually in my own research that, you know, yes, you know, interviewing people, you know, in our hospital system, educators, and, you know, the employers, the managers and supervisors, they all agree, yes, we got two shortages and there's problems, and they're all for certification is a big, you know, a plus. And there's economic problems, you know, with getting money and getting staff to mentor people. And equipment could become a problem because, as we said, it takes up space in the labs. You can't put in 10 students, you know, around somebody. You could take it one or two, and then the person running the instrument is focused on the machine. You know, they're not focused on being a trainer. So, you know, options may be, you know, to get retirees, you know, to become, you know, marketers to go out to schools and talk about the profession, you know, and getting the employers again and the educators together. And I think ASCP agrees with that too. But, you know, the main goal of our, you know, group, you know, the Vocational Rehabilitation Department, is really to put people into a job and to either get them transitioned, you know, from they lost a job for whatever reason, if it's a disability or just they're out of work, and get them into that job again, okay? And there's various different programs. The laboratory assistant training program is just one of the skill programs. There's a computer program, there's a program for high school students, and there's a program for transitioning adults into general work. and they actually put people and students to work in the hospital system as, you know, paying jobs for a certain number of weeks to sort of get them geared up, you know, for the for a real world job out there. So that's basically what we do with, you know, certified rehabilitation counselors in-house, and we work with the counselors and the agencies that, you know, sponsor things. But, you know, we get all the time, I mean, I go to conferences at universities and we set up the table and we get people coming up and saying, oh, how do I sign up for this? What's the tuition? Mm-hmm. And they're ready to write a check. And I said, unfortunately, you know, we have to have sponsorship, you know. We're a cottage program that does this, and that's what our, goal is. But if you're unemployed, yeah, you qualify at that point. So that's the other avenue of people. And a lot of people out there now, you know, are in that, you know, boat too.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, you know, people listening now may think that they don't qualify for this, but a lot of people probably qualify more than you would think. And you mentioned the housewife, she was unemployed, she got into the program. Tell me how someone who is physically disabled can get into this program. I mean, it's the same process, but is there any limitations there?
We've worked with labs before and big name labs that it has to do with, you know, the access. And I think the American Disabilities Act cleared up a lot of things and put a lot of rights to the physically disabled, so, you know, in the 90s there. But so afterwards, I said most of the people we see now are cognitive, you know, disabilities. So people on the autism spectrum, a person with dyslexia, a person that may have a bout with depression, that they had a death in the family that caused them to cause a lot of problems, and those type of disorders. And those are more like, you know, you may have some little lab out there that is still doesn't want to hire someone because of a physical disability for whatever reason, you know, with their own, you know, ignorance. And then other places are, you know, we have a guy that is one of the top companies, you know, wheelchair bound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was a young guy that had a traumatic, you know, brain injury accident. And, you know, he started out, you know, in a doctor's office, you know, as a lab technician after, you know, our program. And then he moved on to a premium processing company. And now he's gotten his master's degree. He's turned his life around. He's actually in sales and marketing now out of the laboratory. So he's moved up. He's on a fast track and things are going great for him. So, yes, it is, you know, possible to do it. And it's, I guess, you're probably looking at probably cultural diversity of the company, which is the buzzwords of, you know, all the big corporations now. Mm-hmm. And that's what sort of determines it. And, of course, the most, you know, people think of Hispanic or, you know, Black or religious people or this. But the biggest group that's the culturally diverse is the disabled that some companies forget about. You know, in that their cultural diversity programs. And that's what's, you know, important too.
So if someone is qualified and they're disabled in some way, maybe they don't have the means to commute to work. Is there any type of transportation assistance? Is there anything involved there?
For us, in order to get them to our class, like I said, right now we can, you know, do virtual and hybrid courses. They could just, you know, do a lot right at home. Mm-hmm. And I've sent out like labs in a box. And all our laboratory hands-on labs are all biohazard-free, even in the class. So you're not going to be, the person is not going to be handling real blood or urine in the class. They're going to have mock-ups and simulations, so that they don't have to worry about. And they're not going to deal with live bacteria, but you'll see it on a slide. So you'll be able to get into things that are microbiology and immunology and how a drug is processed through the FDA. And you'll know about, well, what is a COVID vaccine? What does a vaccine do? You know, well, it gives your immune system by producing antibodies. And what's an antibody, you know? But getting back to, like, transportation to the job, a lot of times that could be worked out through their, you know, counselors, you know, at the agencies that they can work at. And there's a lot of public transportation, you know, to get ways. So people could get to what they've done is like for our, I know for our internships that are 2 years or 2 weeks rather, at a industrial site or at a hospital, they've taken public transportation successfully and gotten there, you know. And one guy actually, you know, had a motorized wheelchair and actually got to, you know, one of the companies on the train. And then he used his motorized wheelchair to go the extra block, you know, from the train station to the company for 2 weeks. So he got that hands-on experience, you know, which is very important, you know, to put on your resume. So, yes, it is possible to do that. But, you know, that's how, you know, transportation works out.
Okay. Can you just give us, it sounds like many people listening would be qualified for this, but could you give us some examples of someone who would not qualify for this, some of the reasons that someone would be disqualified for the program?
Yeah. I mean, there we're getting into, you know, how a counselor would evaluate, and I'm not a, you know, a counselor, but like I said, you know, if you don't, you know, if you're not, don't have a high school diploma or a GED,
right.
If you're below, you know, eighth grade math and reading comprehension, and that's based on evaluation and testing that either we do or the agency would do. That would, you know, so they may be interested in science, but we really can't take them because, you know, they're not going to understand the different things going on. If they can't really, you know, manipulate things, you know, with good dexterity, so somebody it may, you know, have you know, they can't control their hands or fingers, like a Parkinson's patient or something.
Right, but that makes sense. But what about someone? What if somebody just wants to? Maybe they want to switch jobs, and this sounds appealing, and they have a job, but
would be definitely a transition to switch jobs. But like I said, if you're classified in a disability category, yes. If you're employed and you want to switch jobs, and then you can't do it because you don't fit these categories. So you got to either be unemployed or fit one of the categories for Division of Vocational Rehab, Veterans Administration, you know, or that Department of Labor. So that's, you know, where they're at.
Okay, Department of Labor, Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, or the Veterans Administration, that is the places that someone can go to see if they qualify.
Right.
Okay.
And the important thing is what our courses are. And like I said, there's a computer course that teaches, you know, Microsoft Office Suite, you know, for people that want to do, you know, desk work, you know, and input data that I'm also doing at the same time. But the important thing is, the person has to really see themselves doing this job. So we teach in a way that, you know, it's called a backward way of teaching. So you're starting with the end game. What skills do you need in that particular job? And the curriculum is made to say, here's all the things that you're going to learn and put together, rather than starting from scratch and saying A to B, and I'm going to teach you all this stuff, but a lot of things you may not use. So if the person, you know, just wants to explore and say, I want to just try out and see if I like biology, that's not someone to come to our course.
Okay.
That would be someone to take a community college course and say, oh, do I like this science course or not?
Dr. George Knoll, vocational rehabilitation instructor and training specialist at Hackensack Meridian Health Rehabilitation Institute. If somebody wants to get in contact, how do they do it?
You can call our vocational rehabilitation department.
Right. I have the number right here. It's 732-321-7069. That's 732-321-7069.
They can tell you about all our different programs, and we do have a website, you know, on our Hackensack Meridian site. Actually, it's under the Johnson Rehabilitation Institute, you know, website. And I should say Johnson Rehabilitation Institute is a premier institute of the United States. It's recognized. They're part of JFK University Medical Center, which is now in Hackensack Meridian Health, the largest, you know, healthcare system in the state of New Jersey. So we have a lot of resources.
All right. Thank you, Doctor. This is JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. Doctor, thanks so much for your time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joel.